It's 6 o'clock. Actually, it's 6:01. We have everybody here, so we have a quorum. So the first thing on the agenda is approval of the minutes from February 13th. Thank you.
Second.
Judy seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Make sure you're speaking up so the microphone catches you.
I will
speak up. Public comment items not on the agenda. Okay. We will move on to the items for discussion. So we'll start with the tea hanger lease language.
Well, just to bring everybody up to speed, the last few months, the Airport Commission has been talking about updating lease language to try to encourage maybe some non-active flyers to maybe make some different decisions or get some lease turnover or get some hangar turnover for our waiting list. We've taken the little comments I received and put them in the lease. We sent the lease out to the current hangar tenants, both via postal mail and email. And if anybody wants to talk about the leases, you're welcome to. Otherwise, I really don't have anything more.
So as a member of the public, okay, I'm making comments that have been commented to me. They're not actually my comments, but they're people in the public. So there are some general thoughts about, I think people are having, since I guess the lease has been opened up to looking at, there is a question about specific airplanes and specific hangars. I understand that to be that because we have the hangar tenant has to name the airport in their insurance policy, then that is my understanding is why we would have to know a specific airplane in a specific hangar. That way the insurance is satisfied.
Yes.
But then it was brought up that people put different airplanes in their hangars all the time, which I said I only got one airplane, so
yes.
How about other people?
I have been lax in getting new insurance certificates for temporary replacements.
Yeah.
But that is one thing we can be better at in terms of paperwork follow-up. Somebody put something different in the hangar than certificate.
There is, so I have 12 of these, so I'm paraphrasing so we get it pretty quick. There is another one about maintenance downtime, about planes not being used. And I forget it. I was meaning to look through everything, but did we say there was a time frame?
We did not put a time frame.
Yeah, so then last points. The people who leave their hangar, I think we had kind of talked for like snowbirds or people who borrow airplanes. I think we had already discussed that part, and that was not a problem.
So there is a time frame if you sell.
If you sell,
like it's
okay.
The aircraft is 90 days.
I don't think that was a problem. General questions about how things would get enforced. And that is also a sentiment that I hold mean Ryan is how we would enforce some of the things about if people don't or aren't abiding to some of this. Like, are we powering up the teeth, I guess.
Could it be nerd based? Somebody's gonna have to
for the most part. Yeah. Well, I guess
like
then,
we do. I guess, so we'll do annual inspections, like we do the fire inspection every year. We'll go through and as part of that, you know, we check off what airplane's in there, what it looks like, that kind of stuff. That's what I do.
Yeah.
That side of things. So if the airplane's changed and we don't have a record of it, or if it looks like it hasn't moved, if it's got flat tires, things like that.
And home belts,
but otherwise, yes, this is predominantly going to be something that, if we have an issue, this gives us the ability to deal with it versus trying to go find them.
I guess if we do find out there's an issue, we'll go there on the hangar. or is it an eviction? I guess, is it an eviction process with the hangar, or we just be like, well, you didn't follow the rules and the leases?
I think my understanding is, and this might be a Jennifer question, we would probably have to go through the eviction process, which I would bring into the airport commission to authorize that.
And I think we try to informally resolve it initially, maybe draw someone's attention to the fact that they're in violation. But I think, that we would have a lease and we would be able to evict. And then, you know, I think that you could make the decision that maybe it wouldn't be somebody you'd lease to in the future if they weren't complying with the lease.
I thought, because there was something, for home builds, I can't remember the exact language, and I can't find it in my, it's section 3, which sure you would
report. Talks about the fee.
There's an additional electrical fee they should be paying. We haven't really charged back.
Yeah, but it's we don't have prohibit. We do not prohibit using it. I guess, is a home built considered a flyable airplane?
We had, with the electrical line, we had a definite. Basically, when it gets a airworthiness certificate, is when that charge is supposed to go away.
And I guess until, but I guess if we're talking about airplanes with flat tires, that wouldn't qualify. I think that's what this person was intending or talking about potentially was what.
Are you saying there's not
really there an ability
between an unflyable aircraft and a home built that has a type certificate?
Yeah.
A home built that's not complete yet?
Yeah. Because they don't have an airworthiness certificate.
Yeah.
They can also sit for 25 years
and never finish building.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Do
we have any time constraints on how quickly they have to build it?
I don't think we put anything there for time constraints on building airplanes, but we did put in there some language for active progress or...
Oh, that's right. Yeah, the active progress. Yeah. I think that from an individual Ronnie's perspective, that sounds okay.
I don't see that in where it says home built.
Yeah, it's not in the home built thing. It's
in, so if you look at 5, use of the hangar space in part A, the hangar space shall be used primarily to house operational aircraft or aircraft under active construction or repair. So that the active would also go with repair. I think we talked about trying to put in an actual, or maybe just Mike and I have this discussion, and we just really had no idea what time frame.
It's hard. I mean, Ankeny does something like a year, but even then, it's the same. Like, somebody has to tell on somebody unless they come over and do like the fire inspections and stuff. But even then, I know of one time where they tried to do it, try to kick somebody out or kick them out of the hangar for not making action progress. And Ankeny does something like that, but I don't know. It was annoying. It's hard. There's one other thing that I was going to mention that I was going to call it fine. I don't think that's it because I can't figure out what else I was going to bring up from this.
Those are all good questions. And I think the commission, we should reassure people who express concern that we're not getting state unreasonable avenue.
I guess that's
by the same token, you know, there's a lot of people waiting for aid.
Yeah.
How long is the wait? 46.
Is that right?
Yeah. Many papers.
Are those people who actually have aircraft?
There are a mix of people that have aircraft. There are a mix of speculators, home builders that are assuming a time frame of when they think they're going to need a hangar. And there are probably several people on here that have moved on to other locations because they were looking for hangars in relation to work at the university or other opportunities in the area that either no longer exist or they found some other else to be. And they haven't come up on my list and we haven't updated that.
But to your point, I agree. We're not trying to kick anybody out.
No.
We're just trying to make good on our mission, which is to increase use of the airport. If somebody has a plane in the hangar that's not reliable, isn't prepared, they're not using the airport, and somebody else can't worry about it. So.
And I can tell you the last entry that did get a hangar that was on my waiting list waited 2 years for a hangar. So that's
there you go.
That's it. Yeah.
Is there any discussion on leasing long term ground, or like somebody wanted to build their own hangar?
Yep, we have ground space. We extended some taxi lane on the south side that if people were interested in building hangars, I'm happy to talk with them.
Yeah, so that is a possibility.
Yeah.
And we've entertained it in the past.
We've had a couple of hangars that have been built privately. We've got the one at the end of K over here that houses a glider and a light sport. That's an individual that built the hangar for those two airplanes. We built the box hangars, but that was part of just Bassett and Lee. Jet Air's built a couple of buildings on their own.
You know, I've been out here, I've had my hangar for quite a while, probably 20 plus years. And when I wanted one originally, they had the United hangar.
Mm-hmm.
And shoe horn stuff in there. You know, BK Jones had a hell of a set up there. But, you know, the other thing was I don't know how the ambulance thing works into this. I don't know. That might be one area that you could open that up for a home build area. I don't know what the situation is with the ambulance service.
So the ambulance on the field partners with Jet Air to do, they provide some of the ground transportation for their AirMed flights, and they also do just general, you know, it's not just with Jet Air, but general transport from the airport to hospitals and other transports. So right now they're actively participating in the air medical flights that occur out of here.
Do they need to be physically here on the field? I don't know what they're paying for or anything like that.
Well, that's a question.
You know, you can probably get 10 home builders at that place, maybe more than that. So, there's something.
Yeah, we don't do it for home builders. We have several that like do our bigger space, kind of like that, and these other hangars that we built.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of how many I've got right now that are in Cirrus and the 182s and stuff like that. But I commonly have about 3 people that are on the wait list that I do month to month. That, you know, sooner something's available. In fact, if something's available, I typically kick them out to tell them to go take it. That they're, you know, if they're on the list, if they're the next one on the list.
The group has wanted to build hangars for a long time, but the trouble is the construction costs mean that we'd have to rent them for far more than we're charging right now. It just didn't see a way to do it. But we'll see. We're talking
some people who can afford these airplanes can afford to build a hangar.
Exactly. Or they can afford to pay $100,000 for a more luxury hangar.
Yeah.
And I think that's on the discussion tonight.
Their questions or concerns about the lease language as it's written.
I think we should adapt this language. We need a resolution.
This was just a motion.
Well, I move that we adapt this lease language.
Well, this is a bay. I thought meaning we're barred from.
He can
make a motion.
He can make a motion.
He just can't vote.
Yeah. Do they need to abstain?
No, they should. Yeah, you should abstain. Yes.
But they can. They can.
They can make fun. Oh.
They can move to. They can move to pass it, but they can't vote.
No, I don't think so. Because okay. You're sort of saying you're in support.
I move.
Okay. I move that we approve the hangar. I'll second.
All in favor.
Aye.
Abstain.
Three. Okay.
All right. Next item is airport construction projects, FAA grant projects.
Just starting from not really a whole lot of news on the 1230 project. We're waiting for the manufacturer to get the temporary reels in and installed, well sent to us so that the contractor can install them. So that's kind of where that is. We're dealing with the FAA's chaos for flight checks and everything else is what it is, but everything's still out there. Not a lot of movement's been made in the last month. Solar power project, array's complete, punch list is complete. We do have a recommendation letter from our consultant, Sam Key, to accept the project. I am happy to report over the last month, the last billing cycle with MidAm, our solar array that's powering building D has generated more power than they used. So we have like a $4 credit now.
That's way better than being
negative. But it is dramatically helping with the bills. The runway light bill went from about $500 to about $150. So yeah, it certainly helped.
And in the summer, I imagine,
we'll generate more power. Yeah, and knowing that, especially if Building D holds out, like if we're producing a surplus from March to October-ish, it's going to be, and we're not that far away from the runway lights either. They're pretty close to.
Yeah, we still have short days, cloudy days.
Yeah.
At my house, I only pay electricity in November, December, and January. And I get circles that build up during the summer, which
yep.
gets, as the days get shorter in the fall, take care of it.
Which is really helpful, operational budget.
But I
move we consider a resolution accepting the work for the airside ground mount solar array.
Second.
All right, roll call. Warren.
Aye.
Judy.
Aye.
Electra.
Aye.
Brian.
Aye.
Chris. Aye.
All right. Iowa DOT projects. We will talk about our possible hangar build here. So over the course of the last week, I sent the commission members the email about Marion and started scrambling to figure out how to build a hangar. If they do end up closing down, I want to be able to capture some of that activity in their aircraft storage. Also, I had conversations with the Iowa DOT, with the FAA about our funding sources that we have. So what I am going to propose is we start planning for the construction of a 10-unit T hangar. My goal, my hope, and Adam can come up and help me with pricing, but my hope is to build something that's roughly 45 foot wide as far as doors go, 1500 square feet, something that is a little bit nicer in terms of amenities. So we'll either include heating or the capability for the hangar to be heating because the utility is going to be right there. And part of that is because the rent we're going to need to charge is roughly about $350 a month to be able to afford if we need a loan at this venture. Right now, what we're projecting, and I handed out a spreadsheet earlier along with some pictures. Adam's got us about $1.7 million for the building costs, and we've got a little bit extra we need to sort out for construction management and engineering and design. But in terms of funding available, we have the remainder of our bipartisan infrastructure law money, which is roughly $600,000. And then we have the two state grant programs that we can tap into and we would apply for this May, which could get us up to roughly $700,000 of additional grant funds. We would split out a couple of things for the programs, the AIP program, the airport improvement program, which would pay for the paving, taxi lane extension. And then the vertical infrastructure program, which is dependent on state funding for the program, that has a current cap of $300,000 for new construction. So love to get more, but unfortunately that one does have a hard cap on it. The other options we have, which if push came to shove and we needed to use it, we do have AIP money that we've built up. There is some strings with that. If we do want to use AIP money, we would essentially be saying our airside needs are met for the next 3 years, and the FAA gives us no more money for airport projects for a while.
To be clear, because Mike and I talked about this yesterday, be clear, that doesn't mean that we don't keep building up our entitlements year by year. It just means that we can't spend the entitlements. Yeah. So we still get our allowance, it just goes to our bank. And we are, oh well, our FAA. Now, Mike and I talked about this, and I'm going to voice it. I think that should be our last resort if we can, because we'd be pushing down the road pavement maintenance. Our runways are in really good shape, and I would hate for us to have a really bad winter on year two, and then that's you're not coming back. So I think we should seriously consider the ramp application.
And then the last pot of money I have pre-cleared with the city, roughly a $500,000 loan. If we needed to get into that, then at least we have that pot of money that's there. My goal, outside of getting the building done, my secondary goal is to do this without debt so that we are realizing the revenue right away that's coming off of these centers. So yeah, that's
obviously if we need to pavement for that.
Yeah, the nice thing is we've paved half of the area essentially. That's the area that we started paving 2 years ago now, last year.
Yeah,
timelines. So we have a good chunk of paving down, which is gonna save us a lot of money. The other thing that this does is it starts that extension on the east side, which ultimately I'm trying to maneuver to be a secondary access into the area. Right now, the only access is the taxi lane that's out here. And at some point in time, we're going to need to take that down and rebuild it. It helps us get a little bit closer to some type of other pavement that we can send aircraft down. And it's wide pavement, so anything that might be in the deep hangars in terms of the business jets that come in and have an access point. Like we're not also hip cutting off access to Matt's big storage hangars. So that's generally the concept. FAA is on board in terms of using the bill money. They're even on board with the AIP given the qualifications of it. So that was something I was happy to hear about. The state's on board with hangars. I mean, that's one of their big goals, is to try to get hangar capacity across the state built up. They're just restricted by the amount of money we have. It's not a large pot of money for the GABI program. General aviation, it's $1 million a year. So there are 100 airports across the state fighting for $1 million. It doesn't go very far. With that, the goal was in the impetus or the triggering event for this was really Marion kind of doing their things and announcing they were planning on closing the runway up there. Even if that doesn't happen, there's still an off chance that they work something out up there to keep the airport open. Given the size of our waiting list, the wait times on our waiting list, I still think we have a market that makes sense to do this.
If we can accommodate 10 airplanes, we have a waiting list of 40 people. That's a pretty cool
gap.
We fill it right away.
And if we get to that point, you know, we'll start pre-marketing this thing too, and pre-leasing.
Now, as a reminder, we were originally just leaving our bill money for phase two of the solar. So if we do this, we're basically shelving that money, if not do that. But that's covering jet air and air and
university.
No, just the university. Just university. Okay.
Oh, yeah, maybe they want to.
But I think this solves it more immediately because we're going to try and solve it for a long time.
Oh, it's very important.
Make a lot of new friends. Yeah.
Yeah.
We can have a grand opening barbecue.
Well, the current plan would be to apply for the state grant program, both the building and the AIP program for the paving. Adam and I need to kind of sit down and Adam's got a good detail of costs right now. We probably need to sit down and figure out areas we might be able to shave costs or trim some stuff back if needed, and how we shape that bid just to cover any possible contingencies or overages, since we're kind of toeing the line in a lot of pots of money here. Timing wise, that would be the state application coming in April, or not, May. And then we wouldn't know if we got those until June-ish when they announced the draft program that they send to the Transportation Commission. Our bill money, we have half of it now, so we have about $300,000 right now. The other half of that doesn't come available until they do the October announcements based on the formula for how it gets divided amongst the airports in the country. So what we'd be looking at time-wise, we kind of do this background information, apply for the state grants, plan on bidding this fall, winter, with construction being next spring and wrapping up hopefully by midsummer, late summer.
Sounds good.
And then Chris had told me that also I think the intention might be to offer the new hangar space at higher rate to the existing hangar.
So yeah, we've got a couple of different avenues to go. We do have people that have been on the airport that are looking for different hangar space for various reasons, either bigger size, like people on the north that are looking for the south, people on the south that are looking for corners with more space. People that want heated hangars. So we can kind of structure how we pre-lease and market this thing outside of the typical first come, first serve waiting list process. And I think given the price points, that's going to dictate some of it too. You know, we're looking at $350 where our entry-level T hangers are $180, and even on the south side, you know, they're $220 to $275. So we're kind of 50% above our current market rate for T hangers now. And that's part of why we're trying to increase the amenities on the initial construction so that we can justify the $350 mark.
My voice, my opinion when Mike told me about this yesterday was that I'd like to push for the hangers to be heated rather than just plumbing it for someone to buy a heater, because one, we'd be buying 10 of them, so in theory that should bring the cost down a little bit. But two, I think that more solidly justifies that.
Yeah, and I think people could be willing to pay $1.2 million for it.
Yes.
Probably be just fine with paying $400 for a heated hangar. Yeah. Honestly, I mean, it's a drop in the bucket for people.
Yeah.
People like that.
People like that.
I want to say it.
That sounds like that's reasonable. We've got it all planned out. What do we need to do now?
Bless the concept and say go forth.
Go forth.
I'm really excited about this.
I am too. I don't think I've been this excited in a while for a project. we'll go forward. Well, Adam and I will talk and put better pricing together, and we'll prepare the grants from the state, the grant application from the state. And if there's if we come across anything that, especially within the next month and a half, where we can switch grant applications. The other thing this is doing is, we're taking our grant application opportunity that we might be using for terminal remodel or modernization or those kind of projects and delaying that as well. So it's, unfortunately, we just don't have the money to do anything. So it's a matter of this becomes a priority. And if we find something in the next month and a half or so that makes us believe we can't actually pull this off, then we'll come back and do an update. But
it's certainly worth it.
But yeah. Grass landing ops. This one's just kind of giving everybody an update on what the plan is for the grass landing ops. I threw a couple of pictures in the airport in the packet. A reminder, we did get permission from the flight standards that we could allow adjacent landing to the runway. Matt and I talked about how to mark those areas, and Matt had a nice example of some markings on his farm that used, used rock, right?
Yeah, we used wet gravel and trenches, basically.
So I think that's generally the plan. I've got some areas marked off. We just need to get cost estimates to get that taken care of. If we have people that want to volunteer to dig an L into the ground, I mean, we can do that too.
I'll get out of the building. As long as we do it same, if we wait till August, that would be.
No, we want to get this thing done and open and open for the summer. So that is that. So any other questions on the landing ops? That's the plan forward.
Can't figure out much about rolling it. Had somebody ask me if we even need to roll it. I think we do, but I don't know.
I think we want to roll it. I mean, it's still pretty flat out there, but we want to roll it. We want to walk it to make sure we're not catching any gopher holes or something silly that could be prevented.
So how often would you have to roll it?
Some people do it once a year, but then some people don't do it at all, and you can tell. But I don't know what the minimum.
So it's not like once a month to make sure there's no gopher.
No,
because the ground has to be fairly soft.
Yeah.
So by the time the ground dries up, you won't have any difference.
Okay.
Good.
Thank you.
It's got to be just right. You don't want your tractor tires.
Soft enough for the roller to compact, but not soft enough for the tires to eat it up. Airport terminal building modernization and replacement. We're kind of on a holding pattern, but we did have Chris, Electra, and Adam and I had a couple of conversations about before the hangar development stuff came up. About moving forward with that. I think in general, the history of how this all started with the airport terminal program and the infrastructure law, we did some good things. We have the space needs study, but now that we're not going after that program, we have the opportunity to kind of step back and re-examine if there is something we can do with the existing building that might get us 10, 20 years down the road, and then do some type of private capital campaign or some other mechanism to fund a newer building. I think that's generally the concepts that we wanted to bring to the Airport Commission tonight is not necessarily killing the project, but just backing up a couple of steps and taking a look again at that being able to add on to this building, add some space to satisfy those space need issues, and update whatever we can in here, and then go through the funding programs and some of the things that Adam and the McClure group talked about as part of their presentation, and see what we can do to fund some of that stuff. Anything else you want to throw in there?
No, I mean, I think to add to that a little bit, yeah, we had a great kind of initial meeting, and might as well just come up here and get on the turnaround ward.
Yeah, I'm getting too old for this.
Being swivel shift.
Yeah, so we had a great conversation about what had been done and then the value of the space needs study, and how do we take what was developed and learned in that and go further, go deeper. We think there needs to be additional effort and time put into evaluating the alternatives, primarily looking at renovating the space, rehabilitating the space, and looking more at rehabilitating the space and an addition to this building. Also looking at it from the alternative of what does that longer vision look like? You know, how can we add an addition to the space that doesn't prevent something else from happening in the future, to provide that ultimate vision that the commission has outlined. So we think that there's a number of pros and cons around those alternatives. We think there's variances in how we fund those alternatives, and we need to better understand those at a deeper level. So that's, you know, the conversation tonight is, you know, we'd like to map out a little bit of what that scope looks like for the next phase of this project and how we continue along, keep moving it forward. So what we would be recommending would be what I'm going to call an alternatives analysis, but a deeper dive at the alternatives analysis, and then a feasibility study that looks at those alternatives and how we would potentially fund those alternatives. So from there, I guess it's open for questions and discussion.
Sounds like we got to solve the hangar thing first. And then those thoughts in mind. Huh?
I think it's just, you know, Adam and his team they came in with a number of new ideas around how we could fund a replacement or a renovation of the space. Like, I don't think it ever occurred to us or we knew that we had, like, this, what is it, SHPO funds, effective
historic preservation.
Yeah, historic preservation funds that were available to us if we renovated the space. And if we're on the hook for, you know, bringing a $7 or $8 million building, that's a lot harder. I think we were also trying to chase the ATP funds, and we were trying to take advantage of them, but, you know, reality was none of us really knew that what we were asking for. So at least within the purview of what the FAA is branding. So it's just an opportunity to step back and we can look at the options and make a more informed decision. A little bit. Yeah.
Okay.
We're not saying no. And I think we're all on board with the fact that we need to do something because everyone's cranked. But.
And things are falling apart.
Well, there's that.
Yeah.
That's what we're using. Put a scope and a fee estimate together, at least to have a discussion and, you know, try to work towards budgeting that, or, you know, finding a funding source to execute that, so we can keep it moving forward.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate
your thoughtful on that.
Absolutely.
What operation?
Just for operation. Budget. Budget is the budget. We did take a little bit of a hit over the last month. We had a couple of hangar doors that kind of went upside down on this couple of hangar cables snapped, and one of them happened to get stuck open in one of our heat freezes, so we had some water pipe freezing and issues. I think at the end of the day we'll be okay. We'll tend to plan for some of that kind of stuff to happen, but it doesn't help the overall budget when stuff like that does happen. And fortunately, just hangers and cables, we have too many doors that it just happens naturally. Management hangar ground lease. So over the last, I don't know, month, I have been negotiating this ground lease with the help of Jennifer and Matt and with the conglomerate known as Hangar 319. A couple of the individual members do have planes already here. They have a couple of Cirrus aircraft here. They want to build a hangar building with the thoughts of expanding their aircraft fleet. There are a number of folks involved in that setup, and that's kind of where it's at. The hangar itself, the lease itself, is a 50-year lease, 35 cents a square foot per year. They are planning on applying for a commercial business agreement because they want to do, within their conglomerate, at least at this point, they want to be able to do flight instruction and some minor charter type services, aircraft rental, because they are holding different parts of airplanes that they may be trading off on. Certainly okay with everything they proposed. And if they do want to do a formal business, they certainly could. But in the intent right now is to just kind of fulfill their internal needs.
My question is, does this make them another like RFPO?
Not truly, because they're not at this point in time, they're not intending to offer services to the general. Like if you called the airport looking for a charter company, we would still give you the Jet Air.
But it doesn't prevent them from
doing it. It doesn't prevent them from doing it.
We could have two competing
They would still have to comply with the minimum standards. So they would still have to meet the same standards that Jet Air's meeting. But if they wanted to, yeah, potentially they could.
I forget, do you know what the minimum standards are for, like, because I know, like, as an independent flight instructor, even I have issues if I go to, like, Cedar Rapids and start trying to instruct out there, and I forget what it actually was. There's some, but I don't remember now.
So for us, it depends on what you're offering, on what the standards are. For, like, flight instruction, you're required to have two aircraft. One of them needs to be IFR rated. Classroom space, you know, the necessary classroom space and office space to support that infrastructure.
Well, like we have.
Yeah. we do have AI.
So if they build this new one, would you move there to be doing your flight stuff out of it? Because they might have a better place for you to be working out of?
No.
Okay, I'm just wondering. From what I was meaning, it's.
I'll be in the nursing home by then.
So what drives it to the 50 year? Because I thought the standard is 30 years.
Or like negotiations and the ability to get a hangar built.
Sure.
I mean, it's kind of. I do look at like the general investment of what they're putting into the ground and.
Yeah.
That would eventually become airport traffic. Yes. 50 years.
Yeah,
I guess because what I'm thinking is that me to build a hangar, I'd get a 30-year lease. The percentage of how much money I would spend to build that hangar, is it the percentage the same, the effort the same for a large group building a large hangar, I guess? I mean,
those are one of the negotiable.
Yeah, terms. No, I get that. I think that's what I'm trying to negotiate as a commission member is like what drives it. And then also, so they don't pay rent for 10 years because they'll do improvements. And I guess, do we know like what amount of money those improvements would take versus how much rent we would, I mean, the ground lease rent is not that much at all. So I would imagine it wouldn't take much to overcome.
We're talking, that's what shows.
I mean, yeah, the stuff that's shown there looks very expensive, but I'm just trying to.
Yeah, they're
before we go and like sign on the 50-year thing, I'd like to understand like what, because I will.
No, the fence and the fence and gate and the concrete that they're gonna put down is probably. I don't have hard and fast numbers, but I would easily say it's at least $75,000.
And so the new gate, is that to enter where the guard is, or is that just a future gate that would maybe at some point have a driveway to it?
Nope, it'll be built with the building. So what happens is the gate that's kind of right here that separates our line, we're actually gonna bring it down here and put it here.
Okay.
And then it'll be upgraded to a collector electronic gate.
Yeah. Right now it's just a lock.
Yeah.
Can you show where you go?
So the current gate
there.
Is no, no, it's over here.
Oh, that is yes, okay.
Gotcha. Yeah, so there's rolling gate right here.
Yep.
We're gonna move it down to this end of the
block. Oh,
okay. And then they do fencing. They're also responsible for the relocation of the utilities that they're gonna build over, which is by itself about 20 grand. Well, I don't want to say that. It's probably about 15 at least, but it's gonna be expensive. I mean, AM hasn't given us the price for the other half, but they've only given us price for one of the two
and
utilities.
So we call out a base rent already in 2035. How does that compare to our rent right now for ground lease?
That's 10 cents a square foot higher.
What's the last time we did a CPI adjustment to one of these leases? How much was it?
The ground lease we did with the guard, well, the guard was different because that's the last
hangar, was it 10 cents
the last was it? The last hangar build we did, the last hangar building contract we did was 25 cents a square foot.
This is 35
10 years ago. This is 35, and that was about 10 years ago.
That's 40%. But it was on a measly 30-year lease. Those guys got that.
Yeah.
So much talking to people.
Should have hit us when we were more desperate for Spain.
I'm not here though.
Is any of this hangar going to be available for public use? I mean,
like, no, this is a private hangar.
So how does it really benefit the airport? I mean, I guess if we get a
space in 50 years,
space, more airplanes here, more fuel sales, active flyers,
space hangar. Oh, I suppose the space means they'll move some planes out of current hangars and put them in there.
Yeah, the hangars that they currently have are the airplanes they currently have are in our group space now with
right.
Air.
Okay.
And so when those move out, we'll have more room to take on. You know, people who are on the hangar waiting list or own business stuff.
Yeah. But it's an advantage for a lot of it then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Anytime we can get, I mean, with few exceptions, anytime we can get more hangar space, we're going to benefit because a lot of our budget is stagnant. Well, we have the hangar rentals, but also the fuel.
Okay.
Fuel luxury.
And then if you don't build the remaining of the solar project, so that area would not be.
That doesn't impact the solar project.
No, I understand. But you said the OPL would be kind of the only one that would benefit with the remaining that we might not do.
So, yeah, the second phase of the solar power, what we were targeting was the research lab and generator's maintenance shop, because those are the last two buildings that are more or less actively have people at them, you know, for 7 days a week.
Okay, so we were not even trying to cover the existing hangar that were in there on that area.
Yeah, I mean, I guess my question is just whether, or I guess my point that I'm interested in is whether or not, for the 50-year lease and then kick in or assigning a rent now for a time 10 years from now. I wonder about that's what I was wondering.
Well, assigning the rent now kind of gives that discount of what we would probably normally pay out for our landlord ownership type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that it helps that process. The 50 year is purely a return on investment type issue.
Sure.
I mean, we started it the same ground lease we give to everybody else with 30 years on it.
Yeah.
The big thing is to, you know, when I built mine in 2017, it was a similar size. So it was a $750,000 endeavor, a little less. And this is probably $1 million plus. And we had a few, like in terms of their contribution, well, not with them, but like the airport, when we did ours, paid for 50% of the ramp space that we added.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, they're paying for 100% of it. So it's like some of that stuff that, by virtue of not wanting to wait for state funding, they're paying for it themselves, which is good at the same time.
Yeah.
That's why they're asking, is my guess.
It is a pretty big ramp that y'all built, right?
Ours was a lot bigger.
Yeah.
That was one of my bigger concerns with this was that you typically try to get as much payment in front as you put in. At the same time with the guard and being able to do them, I think they would go back if they didn't have conflicts.
Yeah, I guess because right now, I mean, there's often times where airplanes are kind of saved out in front of that hangar. So it is curious, especially if they do go forward and try to offer flight training and stuff for this month. I mean, I think it goes back to Mike's point about there only being one taxiway for that whole entire area, which is problematic in general. But then if we put another hangar there that might be doing commercial stuff, then what kind of problems do we create? Which is not a problem that people want another hangar can answer, but I guess, yeah, I don't know. I'm sort of interested to think about it a little bit more and just wonder, but I mean, I think it's good for people to build hangers, but I just...
Well, and again, tonight's just setting the public
hearing, not approving
the ground.
No, I know, but I... After the public hearing, once the public hearing's finished, we'll vote, right? So I think that's why I want to bring up things now, sure. So that way, in a month from now, when we do have a public hearing, at least it's not Ryan going like, oh, what about this? And then we got about 5 minutes to think about it and then vote on it.
Yeah.
So, because I think it is a big...
It is
a problem now.
It's not a problem.
I mean, potentially could be if we add more hangers anywhere, potentially, right? Then is it something long term we should be looking at another taxiway?
I think that's what Mike was mentioning.
Okay. It's in the plans, but yeah.
So we're already looking at it, so then it should
it's a big issue.
So I do agree with Ryan. I mean, if there is a consensus among the commission that you're not in agreement with the term, I mean, not that you couldn't bring it up later, but that'll delay the process. But we would want, you know, if we know that there's consensus about a term that maybe the commission's not in agreement with, we want to take that back so that we can let them know. Of course, that will delay the process too, but we just delay it even more if it comes up at the meeting next month.
Now, anybody else have problems? Or I don't even have a problem. I'm just...
I know, if I personally
wonder,
we're building a hangar, I would go for the longest lease I possibly could.
Oh yeah, I agree.
So
I think
I could, you know,
Ryan, hangar builder Ryan, yeah, 50-year lease sounds great. I think airport commission member Ryan, 50-year lease is where I go, well, what do we do it? Like, what are we giving up in that amount of time? And I guess that's what I'm wondering. But yeah, as Ryan with his own bank account, I won't 100 you. So.
And I haven't read this agreement super carefully, but is there a clause in it that they agree to maintain the building?
Yes.
As 50 years from now, if we have a falling down piece of junk and we have to tear it down, that would be a liability rather than...
And there's a provision that at that point, the commission, there is a requirement to maintain it, but at the time that it becomes the airport's property, the airport can also tell them they want it returned, the land returned in the condition it was when they leased it. So if the building was not worth anything at that point,
they would be responsible for destroying it.
Correct. Now, I think, you know, by agreeing to 50 years, if you have somebody else come, you maybe set a new precedent. I mean,
I think, like, I wouldn't build a hangar now. If the airport granted it 50 years, I mean, that's what I would think. It's like you now have how many hangars built with 30-year leases? You do one for 50. I guess the flip side of that is nobody else has called in to ask about building a hangar. So maybe these are the only folks.
Well, they have called in to ask, but they haven't done it because of that. Because of the expense in the years.
Yeah.
So
then I don't know. I think I like the idea, and I think it's good to have more hangars. I just am wondering. So I don't know if anybody else shares my wonderment.
I do. Yeah. So I was letting
pontificate,
yes. Sure. You're full of great words today. With your surplus of ideas.
Yeah.
And I did wonder how we got from 30 to 50, and I was wondering if you could share, like, did they come to us with 50, or did we sent them 30 and they said no, 50 is what we can do, or
we sent them 30 with the original lease and they came back with 50.
If we come back with 40, what do you think?
Because
I get that the economics built, like, it is an expensive building to build today. I get that. And the economics of it, we can't get out of it. I get that. But it seems weird to me that, you know, we went from 30 and we're now jumping almost 50% increase in lease.
Well, and I think Matt and you and I have had these conversations on trying to build a hangar for a number of times over the last couple of years. And, like, I've even offered, like, okay, 30 is not enough. Give me the number. Like, what is it?
Yeah. And industry-wide, that's the thing. Is so, like, Mason City had a ton of private-built hangars, and that's how they got them, was they were 50 years. Just like if you think about $1 million divided by 50 years or by 12 months, that's $1,600 or $1,700 a month, 9,000 square foot is what they're building. And that works out to 18.5 cents a square foot. And basically my highest lease rate in the airport is in 72 for 22 cents a square foot. So, and the fact that it would take them 50 years to even beat it. You know what I mean? Like, they're paying all that today, you know what I mean, up front. That's why I can't build. I looked at it all sorts. I mean, I've got more motivation than basically anybody to build one. So because we have other ancillary businesses that benefit from it, you know. So in my opinion, it'd be really hard to do much less than 50 with today's building costs to do it.
And they can they sell that building, sell the lease, this contract, or if they decide to sell it, do we get a chance to redo that whole thing and set it as a rental rate? But if they have this lease for 50 years, they can, in 20 years, they can sell it. Yeah, I think that's because that in my mind, that's also where a longer lease becomes valuable, because I can use it for maybe 20 years and sell it to somebody else who can use it for 20 years.
Yeah, the biggest thing though is it true, as I just sold a hangar in Quincy, Illinois, it's the same size, is the value of, so that building would cost $1 million+ to build today, but it sold for $400,000 because at the end of the land lease, it goes away. So it's like real depreciation, because unless you can get an extension granted.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of times when the airport, just for background, like other airports, when they come up on lease term, they'll oftentimes go to the person, who's in it, will come up and say, hey, I'm going to redo this door and this thing. And, you know, here's I'm going to dump $150,000 into it in exchange for extending lease. It doesn't go away.
Yeah.
So, just things, just background things, you know.
Well,
that's good to know.
But it definitely is true depreciation. So, yeah, you can resell it, but it's worth exactly that much less, whatever the lease rate is at the time.
Yeah.
Value.
Well, so they do also, so they own it, so they can depreciate it. If they're a commercial business and using it as commercial, they could depreciate it themselves for their business.
I don't know.
You can, but they're tax expert. You can some, but you it's difficult on property.
Yeah.
It's not the same as an airplane.
Yeah.
All
right. It sounds like it's worth making the 50-year to be able to get the hangar, to be able to get this flow.
I mean, I trust Matt's
numbers.
Insider, you know, knowledge of the industry. And like, if 50 is what it is, to even, I think it's a valid point.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying. I'm not trying to discount your point. I think that's just maybe where we're at.
Yeah. And that's fine. I think it was just.
It is slightly weird. Mortality aside,
I mean, you can.
But as you mentioned, it's going to be a precedent.
Maybe more people build hangars.
Well, that could be it.
But we're going to take all the concrete. We're going to have to build more concrete, Mike.
Well, we'll figure it out. Hey, if people want to build hangars, I will figure stuff out. That's the end.
Do we need hangers? Do we need
hangers? Yeah, the whole south side has that's there. There's a lot of hangers over there.
We'll be able to do our hearing next time.
Yeah, I'm fine with setting a public hearing.
It's a resolution.
I move that we consider a resolution setting a public hearing for the 319 Hager project.
I'll second.
We'll call. One.
Aye.
Judy.
Aye.
Booker. Aye.
Brian. Aye. Officer.
Just for context, I don't know what airport is, but I think we have two airports that we work at that they're considering even longer than 50 years on a couple private figures, because at the same point, the economics are just really hard to pencil out right now.
We'll be a 100-year lease.
Yeah,
even earlier, they're had their own airport ground some places, but they got in before the city was like, you can only run ground leases, and so now they like run the place. They can do whatever they want, sell it. I'm gonna come to your door next week.
We'll get your ground lease. Give you the template. Here you go. Events. Something coming up. We do have the EAA Tri-Motor B25 coming up at the beginning of April, so that'll be before the next meeting. Come out, enjoy, take a ride, take pictures. And then the Youngsville's date is set for August 16th. That was the only other event that we knew we were planning that was up in the air last month. So other than that, everything else, Summer of the Arts movies have been announced, and I did not print out the schedule. I know the Princess Bride and Moana 2, and so two I can remember for what the movies are.
I don't have much of anything other than we're really, really hopeful that we're done with snow, so that's good. The tax your lights seem to be working now, which is good. That was something that took a little while, but it seems to be real good. The equipment will be converting back over to kind of grass and things like that. And we've got several, this summer we've got to figure out some door seals and things like that for tea hangers. I really don't have much else. I'm glad that you guys are considering doing the land lease thing. I think that'll work out good. Like I said, I wish ours was 50 years, but I'm sure I'll find something else I need to invest in to help things go at some point in time. And one of those, like I mentioned with Mike, I'm working on Hangar Mike, which the airport owns, that I want to lease now. It needs a new door. So that might be something that we do as a way to like prepay the lease or do something different with that. But we'll talk about that a different time when it's not an hour into the meeting. But anyway, other than that, I don't have anything less. If I have any questions for me. Cool.
Thank you.
Yeah. Staff evaluation. I don't know what we want to do for this aside from saying we gave your evaluation yesterday and used the document that was shared with the community. So
thank you.
Appreciate your comments. Again, you know, like I say every year, if I'm doing something wrong or if I'm not doing something standard, let me know, because if I don't know what's broke, I can't fix it. But otherwise, we appreciate the vote's confidence and keep on keeping on.
And thank you, Chris, for working on it.
Yes,
I was already
checked. It's like saying thank you.
It was just next.
Thank you, Chris.
Yeah.
The one thing I did talk to Chris about with the minutes, just to have it on record, is I am eligible for the step increase.
Again?
Yes. Once a year for 10 years. I am asking for the commission to hold off on that for a year for budgetary purposes, because
that is so awesome.
I know what the budget is, and it was kind of the, if we get this hangar built, you're welcome to get it back paid. I know what the budget is, so
let the solar kick in.
Yeah.
Solar panels can pay for you.
Yeah.
Anything else on the evaluation? I don't think so. I've got the copy up here for some. Those are my reports. That report. Just the conference coming up in April, also in April, in the 15th and 17th, is the State of the conference over Oklahoma. The agenda, I think I emailed out the agenda. If anybody's interested in going, let me know if you get registration to figure out. Otherwise, I plan on going, but I have to go for a number of reasons, but also because I'm the IPAA president. We did, IPAA did host their legislative reception. Unfortunately, I was ill for that day, did not make it, but I know it had a kind of a low turnout due to stuff going on in Des Moines and what they're working on, because they're working on the anti-trans bill. That we just like, super fun stuff. But otherwise, we're watching the legislature now for the budget side of things, and now that they're kind of done with policy and moving into numbers.
Next meeting is April 10th.
I will be really
verifying that I will be there.
With more notes from your computer.
Yeah, like I said, I'm kind of becoming a must be that Senator
Mayor
story. It's up on for us.
Yeah.
But I didn't have to make so many signs. I might be a councilman. Like, I don't need to make a lot of signs.
Yeah,
there's that.
I'll help you with
that. That's like reason one of 10. I've seen those minutes. Yeah, I'll be there as well. So,
staff report, I didn't put it in on the agenda, but we do need to organize the annual report to City Council.
Okay.
The what?
The annual report, the yearly report we do that goes up to
City Council. Oh, okay.
Somebody goes up there and says hi.
Yeah.
Did you go last year?
I went with Judy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Judy did the talking. I just
To be determined, but
if I'm around,
that's
scary. And then it's not if you go with you and he can do the talking.
Yeah, I could. Yeah, yeah. It's a rolling thing.
Yeah.
I don't care. They just smile at you.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah.
Well, it's during the public comment period, so they're not really supposed to talk.
I know, but
they do.
Yeah. You can talk it down. They're supposed to talk back.
And now.
All right. One want to move to adjourn? I mean, it would be adjourned.
I would.
Which one? All right, Warren seconds. All in favor?
Aye.